Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 105 of Slamfire Radio for May 1st, 2015. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew the Warning Shot McClatchy.
I'm another one, Trevor the Frelate Ron Burgundy.
Close enough.
And I'm Owen.
Hi, Owen.
Hi.
How are you?
As you said, no more awkwardness. Let's start this thing for real this time.
We're going.
Take four.
This is our fourth take, actually. Yeah. So, listeners, count yourselves lucky and make sure you tune in to the end of the show because you're going to get to hear 1 through 3.
So, we're sorry.
But, you know, it is what it is. We're going to kick this off with Owen telling us what he did this week with guns.
Well, I guess all I did this week was some dry fire practice. Got out the old Glock and strapped on the holster and did some draws and reloads and with a timer. I guess I did get the timer out as well.
It makes a big difference when you have that timer. It makes those sessions
so fast without the timer.
And then you put the timer on and you realize
it is amazing how big a difference it makes. I'm smooth. And I know I'm at least as fast without the timer. Because I'm not thinking about it. I'm not trying to go fast. I'm just, boom, the gun's out, on target, click. But with that timer, all of a sudden I'm fumbling. You're not grabbing the gun right. You're trying to get up too quick. You're pulling the trigger before you have your sights aligned. You know.
I do the same things because I'm trying too hard.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I always find measuring tapes and timers humbling devices to use.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. No, I know I can just tell that I'm faster without it. It's just that added stress, that little bit of stress of trying to beat the timer, that slows you down, tenses you up.
That's good practice, though. I mean, if you can get past that tensing up and that stress with the timer, then that may help you during an actual competition.
Yep. Yeah, I think you got to be on the ragged edge of just out of control when you're using the timer to push those limits. You want to, like Tommy said, know your limits. You want to find your failure point with the timer. And then when you're in a match, you're going to back it up a little bit. Your dry fire to, draw to first shot dry fire is always way slower than it actually is on the range live fire. For me, like I can get the gun out of the holster and see my front sight and squeeze the trigger one time in under a second, but I can't do it on the range for whatever reason. When the gun is loaded with ammo and I squeeze off an actual shot, it always ends up being over a second.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I got to just a second.
Is that with the G code?
Yep.
Awesome.
So are you finding a little bit faster with the G code than with your, what was it, Phobos you had before?
Yes. Yeah. Just because I have the drop offset mount. And right. So that combined with the RTI attachment, it sets it out away from my body a little bit. The Phobos paddle I had, and I wear a thick belt, so the gun was almost canted with the handle back into my side.
Yeah, that couldn't have been comfortable or easy to get a hold of.
Plus, it's sitting just about level with my elbow, just higher than my elbow. So, you really have to reach way up to get your hand on the gun and get it out. And this is just enough of a drop and sets out just enough that it's very easy to get hold of the gun and get it going.
Now, does that keep you legal for how far your gun away is from your body for production, or have you measured that yet?
I think I did measure it, and it's fine.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's always an important consideration.
That was a while ago. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I did measure it, yeah.
Good.
And then I did some reloads, so just I set the timer and then see how fast I could do a reload and get a shot off.
Cool.
So I got about 2 seconds for that.
Well, that's not bad.
No, I was pretty happy with those, considering I haven't really shot my handguns at all since last fall, so or done anything with them like that. Gonna go shooting tomorrow, though.
Cool.
And then on Saturday, I'm going to help out with the 4-H, local 4-H group. group is Random New Brunswick. Dave asked me to go along and give him a hand. He's taken a bunch of them to do some 22 shooting at the range.
And oh, so awesome.
Going to go along and just help, like, kind of be a line officer for just keep an eye on things with that many. I think they're going to have 20 kids there. So it's a bit much for one person to kind of keep everybody.
Yeah.
Watch everybody. So,
oh yeah, for yeah. sure. Even yeah. if a warrant gun's involved, it exceeds the student versus instructor ratio.
Yeah, yeah. And there may be some other people there. I don't know who all is going to be there, but I said I'd go along and give them a hand. So,
very cool.
Yeah. So that's about it for me.
Awesome. Well,
I did a bunch of some resizing of some ammo, but I had some ammo that was a little bit just a hair too long.
Mm-hmm.
Glock mags. And so I just put it in the press and just bumped that bullet down just a hair more. So
in there, done that.
Yep.
A couple hundred rounds of that.
And you didn't lose your fingers or nothing?
No. Nope.
Boring.
Oh, I'll try harder next time.
Please do. All right. Well, I got out a little bit this week with some guns. I didn't do anything serious. It was just fun. Apparently, I took some guns for shielding, but that was supposed to be a W there, for wheeling. That makes way more sense. So, yeah, the snow has finally melted to the point where we do still have some snow out in the woods, but the trails are passable now. So I've been out in the four-wheeler, and first trip out, I took my Warrior. That's that little 16-inch single-shot 20-gauge shotgun, and took that out and just blasted off a few rounds out in a gravel pit, just had some fun with that. And the next couple times I went out, I brought my Papoose instead. And so I had the 22 and just, you know, typical kind of fun, just kind of goofing off and out in the woods and just shooting just targets of opportunity, a pop can, a 12-gauge hull, a rock, you know, whatever. Whatever kind of caught my eye. So it was just kind of fun to get out and just do some plinking. And that's all that was. And on a wild game related note, I saw two wild turkeys on my parents' property.
Oh, sweet. They're so up that far.
I saw two hens, I think. I was going fast and sideways. So
sideways. Are they called a hen?
Yes, two hens. The males are called Toms, and then Jake's are the young Toms. Right. Yeah. So pretty sure it was two hens. There was no beards. They were down and running quick because, well, like I said, I was going fast. So yeah. So I'm really stoked that there are some turkeys up in the area. There was supposed to be a turkey hunting season this year or maybe next year, but apparently it's been canceled. So I guess they're waiting for the numbers.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
today's the last day to apply for your moose license.
Oh. Oh, I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah. I guess I'm not applying for my moose license this year. Dang it.
I went on the website to get the number, the 900 number to call where they bill it to your phone number.
Yeah.
And it said number would be released soon. That was yesterday. So I was going to stop in Bathurst on my way down here at the DNR and apply, and I forgot. I'll see if there's a way I can do it online before.
You can do it. I always just do it right online.
Yeah, I just usually just call the number and let them bill it to my home phone.
Yeah, well, you can do it right online. That's how I do it every year.
Well, maybe I'll do that right now while we're doing the show. cool. Yeah, no, Trevor, what did you get up to?
Well, I'm sitting in the guest room at Filthy's right now. We've got a big weekend planned. I came down here to pick up my NEA 39 upper. So that's awesome. Got that all put together tonight.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And he goes, here's a bad lever. They don't work for left-handers. Oh, thanks. So, yeah. So we'll get to the range tomorrow morning. My godson is in town here too. He goes to University of New Brunswick and is in the military, and so he's living in town here. So we're gonna pick him up and take him to the range with us tomorrow. Him and his girlfriend, and he doesn't know this yet. But then, after we have some filthy burgers at supper time, we're off to that firearms museum, that machine gun museum that we talk about on here quite often. So that's
nice.
Yeah, that should just totally make his day. So my godson is a recent convert to the gun world, where he was adopted actually by my cousin, and there's no guns in that house. But since he got into the military, he's turning into a gun nut. So I'm going to do everything I can to foster this new love of firearms. I was hoping to actually put him through our black badge, but he'll be in the field that time. So So, and then that's all tomorrow. On Saturday, we go out to Filthy's Buddy's place to build my M1 Garand. So this is going to be an epic, fun-filled firearm, fantastic weekend.
Yeah, you got to get some more alliteration going on there.
Nah, that's all I got. So, and leading up to this week, I got out to the range 3 times. I've been away for 2 weeks. So this week, I went to the range 3 times to test some ammo. I'm working with tight group powder, 147 grain 9mm bullets, and 180 grain 40 caliber bullets. And it's really it's the way to go. I'm getting power factor in my M&P with 3.3 grains of powder. That's a lot of bullets out of a pound of powder.
Very much powder at all. That's awesome. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just getting power factor, but I'm getting power factor. So, yeah, out of my Glock, I'll get a few more feet per second because of the polygonal rifling. So, a couple of holsters arrived from MJB Holsters. You may remember David Copping. He's the Grand Power rep for Canada and used to be the LHS holster rep for Canada. Well, now he is the MJB guy. So he sent out a holster for my FNS, believe it or not, my FNS long slide.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's no offset. They're just, you know, those Blackhawk couplers that fit onto your belt. They clamp, they open up, they close, or spacers to accommodate the thickness of your belt sort of thing.
Yep.
It's just that and the holster. So it's really close to your body. And as a gamer, I'm used to having my holster out a little farther from my body than that. I got one for the FN, and I got
Are you planning on competing with your FN?
Yeah, it's going to be my 3-gun for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So if I could get more mags, unfortunately, I can't find any mags for it. I haven't looked anywhere other than the Calgary Shooting Center because I'm not a communist.
Right. Why would you look anywhere else, really?
Well, exactly, right. If they don't have it, it means you can't get it. That's all there is.
Basically it, yeah.
Yeah. So a sheriff bought my gun today. We'll come back to that story in a minute. and I also got a holster for the SIG P320. It comes with a holster, but it's a paddle holster. And it's not adjustable, so when you draw the gun, the holster comes up until it hits your belt, and then it comes out, and it's canted backwards. And anyway, none of that matters now because the gun is gone, but we'll come back to that. SummerSlam meeting this week. I was actually so tired at the SummerSlam meeting that the treasurer said, okay, you know what? I think we're going to adjourn this meeting because those last 3 sentences that you uttered contained more non-words than words, so call it a night and go home. So that's
nice.
That's what I did. I slept like 9 hours yesterday. So, but anyway, that's not why I bring it up. I bring it up because there are only 20 spots left in SummerSlam. So that's a good thing. I'm happy. We're pretty much on track where we were last year this time, maybe a little bit ahead of the game. We didn't sell out last year. We had, but we had a lot more people in the pre-match. We won't have a pre-match this year. There were 14 spaces available on the day of shooting last year, and we're at 20 right now, so I'm hoping to sell out. So
no pre-match this year?
No pre-match. Well, you would get into the pre-match,
right?
But there's no advertised pre-match.
Oh, I see. So it's just range officials
range
and stuff.
And stuff like that. Yeah. So like, let's say you wanted to come up and be a CRO for me.
Right.
I would put you I would let you shoot the match for free as payment for shooting, for being a CRO.
Right.
Shoot the pre-match and then pick a stage and be the CRO for that stage for the match. So, and that option is open to you if you want it. Something to think about, because I sent out an email to all of our CROs in the province, our actual genuine authentic trained CROs, offering them this opportunity. Now, I understand schedules are schedules and time off is time off, but at least reply to my email.
That'd
and
be nice.
Say no thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because not everybody even bothered to reply to email. So
you don't need to be an official CRO to CRO a stage for you.
You should be.
Oh, I see.
And you know, you can be. I can give you the course, and we got lots of time.
That's true.
You, Matthew, as an RO, have enough match points to qualify to take the CRO training.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm going to consider that then.
All right.
Because if it'll help you out, then I'd love to help you out.
It'll help me out, and you'll get shoe for free, and you'll become a CRO. So, something to consider. and I'll give you like the easiest stage to CRO where it's like 9 shots.
Lovely. I love it.
Anyway, the other thing we're going to do this year is you have to be a member of IPSC to shoot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being politically correct about anything anymore because, frankly, IPSC's not that important to me. Some Quebec guys, that's right, I'm calling you out. Some Quebec guys, apparently, now this is hearsay. I didn't hear it, but I was told that Quebec guys were walking around SummerSlam bragging that they weren't members of IPSC. So whether it's true or not, myself and the president of IPSC Canada, we're going to vet the list and see if everybody on my who's registered for SummerSlam is a member of IPSC. And if you're not a member of IPSC, you got two choices. Join IPSC, or I can give you your money back and you can stay home. That's how it's going
to
be.
Well, look, that's a rule. I mean, to shoot a level 3, to shoot any level, Matt, you have to be a member of IPSC. That's a rule. That's
correct.
That's how you get your insurance coverage. That's how that's a thing. So I don't think you're calling anybody out. I think you're just stating the facts and actually enforcing the rules. So good for you.
Yeah, I'm going to enforce it. Yeah, it's not necessarily – you don't get your insurance through that, but why are you shooting an IPSC match if you're not a member of IPSC? We wouldn't have IPSC matches without IPSC. So join or stay home. Those are your two options. What else?
Your mute's the other way, buddy. You just unmuted and coughed and then muted your mic again. So good one.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Carry on, Trevor.
No problem. Normally it's me that does that. I'm so happy it was him for a change. John, Alan, and I, a fellow teacher, gun nut buddy of mine, went to the range. And unfortunately, on the way to the range, I sold him my SIG P320.
Huh.
Yeah, so here's how that happened. I get a text from the Calgary Shooting Center, and it says, "For the love of Odin, call me now." So I call him up, and it's our good friend Jeff Reese, who says, 5 classic Smith & Wessons just walked through the door, and one of them is a 6.5 Model 29-2 1976. Original display case, all of the original cleaning brushes, all the original paperwork. Do you want it? I'm like,
what do you mean?
Do I want it? Of course I want it. So I said, you know, of course I want it. Figure it out. So then that's funny. He texts me again about an hour later and says, "I'm sorry. They're all sold to a Smith & Wesson collector here in the city. They were sold before they came through the door."
Oh.
Then about an hour after that, I get another text message that says, "Do you want that Model 29? I'm like, "All right, will you stop toying with my Now I don't even know if there is any Model 29s. I think this is just your perverse idea of a joke. Anyway, yes, I do want it. So, all right, well, you know, so I need to come up with some cash right now to secure it. Why should they hold it for me? I mean, money talks. So either I come up with a deposit or it's going to walk, right? So I'm like, "All right, listen, all I can do is send you my 29 back." So he's like, "Okay." So in the end, I sent my 29 back, and I still needed there was a cash balance that needed to be paid. So in order to pay that, I sold my SIG. So, and that freed up some other money for some other gun projects. In the end, this 1976 Model 29 – it cost me a lot of money. They should have kissed me because they did the other thing to me. You know what I'm saying? But I finally, it cost me a lot of money. But I have a 1976 original, almost new in box condition, virtually unfired 29-2.
Well, there's nothing, you can't pay enough for something like that. That is, you know what I mean? Like, that's worth it no matter what you got to pay, because those are rare, number one, and number two, they're worth the money. Those are how they used to make guns.
And here's how I rationalize selling the SIG. They're making them every day right now. There's lots of SIGs out there. I can buy a SIG tomorrow if I want to. I've never had an actual 1976 or any, I've never had a 29-2 of any year come across my lap. I've never had an opportunity to buy one, so I had to do to get it, and I have no regrets. Talking hammer or firing pin on the hammer, recessed cylinders, pin barrel, the proper grip in the original case. So I sent my 29 back. Now, if you guys were, now this part stings a little bit. you guys remember me talking about the bluing on the gun just didn't look right. It just, you know, it kind of, it didn't seem to be as deep as the original vintage 70s era Model 29s. And anyway, have you ever purchased a matte finished firearm, like not a blued firearm, but like okay, you know the finish that's on your axis?
Yep.
Well, if you take one of those rifles, take it home, take it out of the box, and a gun, even a gun that's blued, take a brand new firearm off of the rack, take some hoppies, put it on a white cloth, and wipe down the gun, and then look at the cloth.
Yeah, the cloth will be filthy.
Cloth will be filthy. It'll be covered in rust. So I had shot the gun.
I was going to say it'll be white and black. I don't know.
It'll look like a clone. I had shot the gun, as I said on the show before, only 44 times. So I thought if I'm going to send this back, Jeff got me top dollar for the gun. He did. He really, really did. He got me as much business as business. And they obviously weren't going to give me all my money back because they were going to turn around and resell it. And they had to make money. That's how business works. I understood that. But he did get me top dollar for the gun. So I'm not complaining about what I got, but whatever. Anyway, so I thought I better clean this thing up and make it look factory fresh, right? And it did look factory fresh because when they sold it, they basically only knocked 5% off the retail price. And it was sold to a sheriff. That's what I alluded to earlier.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yep. A sheriff bought my 29 today.
Huh.
Anyway, so when I cleaned the gun, I wiped down the outside of the gun for the first time. And it just popped. It was shiny and deep and blue. Yeah. So, joke's on me.
Well, except that now you have a 76 instead of a 2014.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's it for me. That's enough. That's 2 weeks worth.
All right then. Well, let's move on to some upcoming events then, and we've got a lot of them. So I'm going to go through them quick. 5th annual charity shoot coming up June 27th. You want to come out for that. Definitely. It's going to be awesome. It's $25. Paracourse with Tommy, July 3rd. That's full, but the IDPA mini match on July 4th, bring fireworks, of course, is going to be awesome. So come on out and shoot an IDPA match with Tommy and the rest of us. Carbines Vitals 2 Clinic, September 4th and 5th. This is with Daniel Shaw through Thunderbird Tactical. If you haven't paid me yet, you will be sending your money directly to Thunderbird Tactical. It's $400 US. It's a two-day course. It's going to be amazing, and there are currently 4 spots available. You want to do this. If you want to learn how to run your carbine...
Really? 4?
4. So, yeah. You want to come out. You want to shoot this. You want to have a lot of fun. Yes, it's $400 US, but it is value for your money. You are going to be learning a lot. You're going to definitely walk away a better shooter. So, come on out for that. SummerSlam, August 8th and 9th. The registration is now open. We were talking about that a little earlier. The RNBRA Modified Target Rifle and Sport Hunter Shoot is going to be May 30th at the Woodstock, New Brunswick range, not Woodstock, Ontario. It's $15 to enter in the Modified Target Rifle or $10 to enter in the Sport Hunter, and it's 22 shooting at 50 yards. Bench rested. So modified target, you can basically any 22 and any scope, really. You run a front rest, no rear rest, as I understand it. And then sport hunter shooting, it's any 22 rifle, but maximum magnification is 4 power. And then that you shoot off your elbows, no rest at all. So again, it's at 50 yards. It's going to be lots of fun. You should come out, give it a try. One Shot Tactical Ontario IDPA Provincial Championships be going to be held August 15th. Starts at 9. Check out www.2015opc.com for more info if you're in that area and want to shoot an IDPA Provincial Championship. The NFA AGM is May 23rd and 24th in Quebec, and the CSSA AGM is May 30th in Ontario. You should definitely check those out if you're members. Keep Calm and Make It Rain initiative. We had Daniel and Kent on last week talking about this, and we just want to mention it again. Go to tinyurl.com/kingsports, KINGSPORTS, Kingsports, and help them build one of the awesomest, that's a word, right? Awesomest?
If Flipperosity is, it certainly is.
Perfect. One of them. Yeah.
Thanks to 10X for the Flip Rossi video with 9X.
That was cool. Yes. Okay. So yeah, anyway, they're going to build an awesome range in Toronto or very close to Toronto. So you definitely want to help them out with that probably. So if you're anywhere close to that, you definitely do. And you still may want to, even if you're not close, because you're helping them kind of stick it to them, you know, being there right downtown into the heart of the lion's den there where all the anti-gunners are. Last but not least, t-shirt orders. We need 25 orders, and we currently have 16.
I have a couple to add to this. One, do you have me down there for a t-shirt?
Nope.
Okay, so I need one. Plus, remember a couple of weeks back or going back a month or so, I said if anybody goes to the Calgary Shooting Center and gets a picture taken with a sign that says Calgary Shooting Center, shop here, you're a communist?
Yep.
Well, two guys did that.
And so they get free t-shirts.
Those two guys will get free t-shirts. And don't go do it. Nobody else bothered to do it. They beat you to it. They did it.
And by free, we mean Trevor's paying for them.
Yeah, exactly. my big mouth, yeah. So I will cover the cost of their two t-shirts. So you sent that to us on Facebook. Send me a Facebook message or send me an email message. Send the show an email message with the size, color, and your address, please. And I will cover the cost of those two t-shirts because you guys are super fans.
I concur.
Of the show, and I appreciate that.
So do we. We all
they're
do.
And they're not communists.
And they're
not. Certainly not communists. So non-communists get free t-shirts.
There you go. Well, those two.
Those
not
two
the rest of you.
Yeah.
The rest of you are capitalists, so buy your own dang t-shirt. Right? Am I right? So I guess we only need six more orders then. So six more people out there. You definitely want a Slam Fire Radio t-shirt. So if you're going to the charity shoot, you should definitely order one because I'll just bring it to you and you will save shipping charges. And if not, you still want one. It's going to be about $5 to ship them, and it'll be $25 for the t-shirt. So 25 or 20?
25.
25. 25 it is. Trevor has spoken.
I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. I think 25 is the realistic number anyway. I think I lost money last time when we did a t-shirt order. But anyway, regardless, it was cool to see all those t-shirts out there, and they really do look cool. So you definitely want one. All right, well, I think it's time to move on to our main topic because news. We don't have any news.
No? Well, what about the, do we want to discuss Bill C-42 passing the second reading and then it was read again today?
I think we just did.
Okay.
Is there anything to add to that?
Well, just the whole thing about Tony Bernardo spoke at it today and destroyed a liberal.
Right. Yes.
And, so if you haven't seen the recording or the video of him speaking at this, what do we call it? A reading? What do we call it?
I don't know what it's called.
Committee hearing?
Sure.
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's a committee hearing.
All right. So Tony Bernardo spoke at the committee hearing, and he was questioned by a liberal, and he just stomped the liberal into. He basically curb stomped him with his mind, is what he did. And
it looks like we may have a link to that. The audio, which I will try to put on the end of the show. So have a listen. Thank you. Big shout out to Peter Dawson for sending me the Mr. 10X.
That's it.
I forgot you guys don't know his real name.
He's yes. The unnamed Scott.
The unnamed Scott, except his name's not Scott. It's Peter.
He'll be at the charity shoot in a 5'11 tactical kilt. I'm not even kidding. Come check it out.
No, he really is. So, yes.
And so will 10X and Edith, or not 10X. Styx and Edith are certainly confirmed for this year. So
sweet.
You need to come out.
Stacy's coming too as well, as I understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. Stacy's room was like booked before your room was booked at my place.
Right. This is going to be an awesome charity shoot. You guys should really be coming out for this. But anyway, we got off topic there slightly because we were talking about C-42 there.
And then Peter Dawson, and so that's it for the news. Take us into the main topic.
We's professional, yo. All right, main topic. So we apparently stole this from someone else. I can't remember who. Trevor came up with the idea.
I stole it from the Faded Destiny channel.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do remember this conversation now. So anyway, we're going to talk about our top five range/gun experiences. So these are just kind of reminiscing
back and forth. You want to go back? You'll give your number five, then I'll give my number five, then Owen, and then we'll go 4-4-3-3-2-2 all the way to our number one.
We could do that. When does potato happen?
Potato is number five, right, Owen?
Potato is number five.
According to my 6-year-old, it comes after four. Yeah,
and now she gets the joke. That was awesome.
Sort of. All right,
so,
Owen.
But before, hold on, let me interrupt you, Matthew. So Matthew was bored this evening and into the show notes before Owen and I arrived, and he decided to, how shall I say, modify, alter, edit our
list.
Well,
you guys hadn't put your list in yet, so I just wrote your lists for you.
Yeah, so I think we'll share Matthew's list of what he believes our top five shooting experiences would be, and then we can actually share our own. So maybe, Owen, did you want to give Matthew's slash Owen's top five?
The thing is, I think Owen is using the ones that I wrote.
That's funny.
No, I actually deleted them, so I don't remember what they were.
Oh, okay.
I have a two-second memory.
Right.
Oh. All right.
So, well, the very first one is I'm going to keep. But we'll leave that for the very end.
Oh, that's the last one.
Hmm. Oh, so that's your number one or your number five? Because you start at five and you work. That's your number one. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to start at five then. So Trevor, do you want to read what I wrote for yours if you want?
I love that we're so organized with our main topic. You know?
I told you we're professional.
All right. So I'll go through Owen or Matthew's, what Matthew considers to be my top five range experiences, and then I'll give my other ones later. What?
Hello.
Hello.
Da 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 da. Sorry, guys, that's in my contract. I have to do that.
You have to do that, Filthy. How you doing, man?
Great, guys. How are you?
Good.
Awesome, Filthy! You made it just in time for the main topic.
We'll see. We're going to throw him on the spot and see if he can come up with his top five.
Starting with number five, going down to your number one range slash shooting experience.
But you're not going to start. You can listen to think about it. You can listen to Trevor have some humor here, and then we're going to start.
So number five, according to Matthew, my number five top range experience was meeting Matthew McClatchy in real life. And there's actually some truth to this one, because I met Matthew at my black badge, and my black badge is certainly one of the coolest things I've ever done in shooting, so you weren't too terribly far off the mark. And then number four was shooting the turnips that Owen gave me. It was actually turnips.
And that was actually Owen's number three, was finding out that Trevor had shot the turnips that I had given to Trevor.
And then Owen's number four was buying a 7.95 on Matthew's recommendation. My number four is regretting the Remington 5.97 I bought. Matthew was right. I should have bought a 7.95. And my number two top range experience, according to Matthew, was getting to wear a cute feather in my hat when I play Robin Hood. Hardy, har, har. Don't forget the tights, Matthew.
Well, I didn't want to mention the tights, because I didn't know if you'd get them out over your calf.
Oh, just because one is slightly larger than the other one now, it doesn't mean they're very stretchy. So my number one range experience of all time was actually walking up a slight hill and not blowing out a calf muscle.
Sorry, but it was funny. I couldn't help it.
So do you want my actual number five?
I just want you, just your number five.
My real number five?
Yeah.
Shooting gophers Easter weekend in Calgary with my buddy Jeff Reese.
Nice.
What a day this was. We went out to this farmer's field, which was still basically covered in snow. Every once in a while, we would like sink up to our waist area in snow, getting out to these gophers, and they're like little rats just running over the snow. And of course, they're kind of beige, and the snow is white, so they were really easy to spot. And then you would turn the snow red. So much fun! I was so impressed with the rifle that I ordered my own that very night when we got back to Jeff's place. It was the Savage Model 93R, only he had the real fancy one with the fluted stainless barrel and the Boyd stock. It was such a target-rich environment. We were taking gophers from really long distances, and the little 17 HMR was just turning them inside out if you hit them right, and it was awesome.
Trevor, awesome.
Yes?
I had the exact same experience on Hoth. I know what you mean.
That's awful.
Owen, then, what is your number five, Owen?
Probably IPSC Nationals in 2013. The biggest IPSC event I'd ever to this day have shot. And that was up in Restigouche. And it was, I didn't shoot very well, but it was a very impressive, it was an impressive match. I mean, just the size of it, the number of people, how it was run, the stages, everything. It was very intimidating. So,
yeah, that was a lot of fun. That would have been an honorable mention for me. I didn't write that one down. But, yeah, the Nationals was really cool. And for a slightly different reason, I was sort of already used to that level of competition being to the SummerSlams that I've been to, and they were very close. It was a bit – they had notched it up a bit. Yeah. But, yeah, just because it was the Nationals, you know, and that's something special. But, anyway, that one didn't make it to my list. My top five – or my number five would be shooting two turkeys with one shot, with
right.
my shotgun.
Yes,
and
I love this story.
A couple years ago now, I actually did it again, but with grouse. I had gotten two grouse with one shot, but the turkeys one was way more fun. My first time turkey hunting, actually, I'm sorry, that's not true. It was my second time turkey hunting, and we had all but given up for the day. And we were just on our way home. We're like, screw it. Let's just check this last field here. It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is like the worst time ever to hunt turkeys. And so we drive the car into this field. We don't even shut the engine off. And my boss, he's the one hunting with me, just grabs one of those box calls. You just kind of press the stick on the end of the box call and that makes the turkey squeak there. He just holds it out the window a couple times just as a joke, you know, before we leave. Well, didn't we hear gobbles just all over the place? So we're freaking out. I jump out of the car. He pops the trunk. I grab the shotgun. I'm throwing shells in it as I run into the woods. No camo. I've left my camo in the car. I got turkey fever. And I run in the woods, gun up, you know, like all tactical and stuff. I run in, take cover behind a bush. Don't know why I took cover. But took cover behind a bush. My boss comes tearing up behind me. And I see them. They're over there. Do the call again. Do the call. And so he does the call again. And this Tom just kind of struts out from behind this bush, I don't know, 40, 50 yards away. So I line up on him. I'm like, you're all mine, buddy. And just as I squeeze the trigger, another bird steps out in front of him. And two turkeys down with one shot. So it was a bit of a mistake. You're only supposed to shoot one turkey a day, but I called it in like a good boy, and they said, don't worry about it. Just buy a tag tomorrow. Stick it on there. You'll be fine. This is my reference number. If you get stopped on the way home, tell them to call me. You're good to go. So anyway, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I've loved turkey hunting ever since. So anyhow, that was my five. So Filthy, do you have or is your Hoth experience your number five there?
No, I'm going to go with on-world experiences here.
Oh, okay.
So, number five for me would be when I took Mini-Me shooting for the first time last year when he turned 7 years old.
Nice.
I let him shoot the dedicated 22 upper. It still worked back then. And set some balloons up, and he got behind the EOTech and blasted away, and it was really awesome.
That would be really cool. It's always fun to introduce a young shooter to the shooting sports.
And the first gun you ever got to shoot was an AR.
Awesome. You're starting them off well.
Mm. I concur. Way to go.
All right, then back to Owen, number four.
All right. Four is another IPSC match, actually. The three gun in Restigouche.
Not technically an IPSC match, though, was it, Trevor?
No, it wasn't. It was an IPSC style match. Sorry.
Ah.
Yeah. But that was probably one of my favorite matches that I've competed in, came in second, and it was just a lot of fun to run the way it was set up, running multiple guns in the same stage.
That is that's one of the best times you can have on a range, I think, is running three gun. It is so much fun.
Yep.
Cool. Trevor, number four.
I'm cheating. I've got a couple of multiples on number four. Okay, I put down shooting a 50 BMG for the first time, but it was kind of ties into last year's charity shoot because on the same day that I got to shoot the 50 BMG, I also got to shoot the Desert Eagle and 50 Action Express. But on that same range, previous to that, I got to shoot a 500 Smith & Wesson. So shooting 50 caliber firearms, I'm calling that my number four. I know I'm totally cheating, but
I think that's allowed. You shot all the 50s as far as I – you shot 50 and Beowulf, BMG, yeah. Desert Eagle, 500 Smith & Wesson. What else is there?
You guys pulled a 50 cal black powder something.
That doesn't
rather,
count.
No,
that
it doesn't.
Doesn't count. I remember a story once where a couple guys were into like a local Canadian Tire or something, and they had a 50 caliber muzzle loader there. And one of them commented to the other, "That's what they use over in Iraq to shoot out the engine blocks. It's a 50 cal."
Oh, man.
Nope.
Squirrel, did you know that in Canada, if you bought a newly manufactured flintlock, you don't need a firearms license to buy it, even if it's a newly manufactured firearm?
I think I do remember that. Now, that only counts for rifles, not handguns.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So if you want a flintlock antique, it's got to be an actual antique for you not to have your license. But if it's newly manufactured, you still need your ARPAL, which makes no sense at all, but whatever.
So big shout out to Ed Wilson for helping me win an argument over gun laws with Pierre Luc.
Nice. That's always fun.
I phoned a friend.
All right. I guess we'll move on to my number four, which is shooting with Steve Lee and Trevor in the gravel pit. So Steve Lee was over, this was his second trip to Canada, but his first trip meeting us.
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
And so we went out. Trevor's got a local gravel pit by his old house there, and we grabbed all of our non-restricted shotguns and 22s and stuff and went out and just basically shot the gravel pit. We just shot the gravel pit.
The video of this is on Steve Lee's channel. And it shows footage of him discovering the bed of guns. But more importantly, it shows you standing there with my 780 home security or homeland security or whatever they called it. The Norinco 870 clone, the really bad one. And you're standing there doing your absolute best Steve Lee impression using the word shoddy. Oh, man.
I do remember that. Yes, it was a good time. Anytime I get to hang out with Steve and Trevor and anyone who likes guns out in a gravel pit with shotguns, it's a good time. So
Steve was getting a break in the KSG.
Yes, yes. It was his first time shooting something like that. He's like, you can hunt with this? Yeah. He was very impressed that was a non-restricted firearm here. All right, so Filthy, number four.
My number four, I never actually got to fire a shot, but I was invited to see a nighttime firing of a squadron of Canadian tanks at CFB Gagetown.
Wow.
By the brother-in-law of a shooting friend of mine. And it was phenomenal. They had set up a 50 cal in front of us, and they were shooting tracers at mortar flares. They fire mortar flares, and the 50 cal would try to shoot them down. And we were standing maybe 25 feet behind it, and it felt like somebody was slapping you in the chest with every round. The concussion was amazing.
Wow.
And then when the tanks opened up, first they would fire their coaxial machine guns. And if you looked right at the barrel where it started shooting, it looked like a laser because the tracers are coming out so fast right at the start. Then when you follow them, you can start to see the individual bullets. And when the main gun fired, they were firing at hard targets, they called them down there. Just the blast from those and watching the rounds go down range so fast. And then the sparks coming off the old tanks when they were hitting them was just phenomenal.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Nice. That brings us back to Owen, I guess, with his number three.
All right. Well, number three for me is probably a hunting experience, probably shooting my first bear. My first black bear.
Nice.
That was, I had hunted the year before that, but didn't get anything. And so that year I was determined I was going to get it. And I was set up in the same spot again. And it was one of these, this is the second time this has happened to me, actually, where I've gone hunting after a storm and seen a bear. And not really expecting it, not really being, you know, careful about anything. But it was after a storm and I just went out. And I guess I was fairly careful when I went out, but it was, again, right after a storm. When you would think, oh, well, the bear's probably not going to be around right now. It'd be along later. But I was only there probably 45 minutes, and it walked right out. It walked in just like it owned the place and walked up to the barrel. And it stopped once and kind of looked back towards the tree. So it was almost as if he knew I was there, but wasn't really sure if he should be worried. Yeah, he should have been more worried.
Clearly.
So he went up and sniffed the barrel, and he stopped and kind of looked back, and then he started to take off. He spooked, and he took off for the woods. And I caught him like three strides or whatever. I waited till he was kind of in a half run, almost a lope, and I waited till that leg came forward on the side so I could get a good Boilermaker shot. And, 30-30 lever action. So
very nice. Trevor, number three.
Last year's charity shoot. The whole event was a highlight of my involvement with firearms to date. because of the structure of the event and all the different shooting things we got to do, but the amount of people that came and all the social aspect and trying other people's firearms, and all of us getting back together at my place and putting a fire out on the barbecue with a can of beer. And
Steve, I do remember that. That was hilarious. Guys, the barbecue is on fire. Guys, fine, I'll get it. Trevor just pours his beer all over it. Fire's out, guys.
Well, I came back and I said I was done. I was done. Everybody was on their own from this point. I had worked really hard to prepare for the event and get us through the event, but then I got home and I was off the clock. If you want something and you can't find it, it means you haven't looked hard enough yet. Just don't talk to me. Don't look at me. I'm just going to sit back here and have a beer. Next thing you know, the barbecue's on fire and nobody's doing anything about it. So I problem solved.
You did, and it worked.
Yeah, sure it did. Unfortunately, yeah. I had to waste a beer, but whatever.
But you didn't burn down your barbecue.
That's true. So the whole thing was great. I mean, Steve Lee was back. He was singing in the backyard. Styx even called in, for crying out loud, to the charity shoot. How cool was that?
That was, yep.
And, yeah, so I hope, and this year is going to be even better, but last year definitely sticks out. I mean, the one in Ontario was amazing too. I mean, Andy did an amazing job. Going to that range at Galt was amazing.
Getting to shoot real silhouette was really fun too.
It was a lot of fun, and you kicked butt. Here you are with your wife's gun out shooting guys that are quote unquote silhouette shooters. That was an amazing experience too. But last year sticks out. We raised more money than ever before. Tommy from the Gun Dudes made a donation to last year's charity, which ended up being this year's charity, but you know, whatever. I love seeing Jazz walking around with all of his guns like a pirate, because he can. You know, I don't get to do this at home. Like, Jazz, you know, you don't have to put your pistol on until 2 o'clock. Hey, I'm putting it on now because I can. You know?
Yep.
Yes, you can, Jazz. Make yourself at home. And the radio station showed up, and I think it was you or Owen got her shooting.
That was Owen, yeah.
That was, yeah, and she did really good, apparently. Like, so we got a lot of really good support from that local radio station. I've been interviewed by them at least 3 times so far. So, yeah, last year's cherry shoot, definitely number 3 on my list.
Awesome. Well, my number 3 is Glock Day.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, what is the gun dealer in McAdam had sponsored a range day at the Fredericton range, and they brought out pretty much every Glock you can think of, and any Glock that's legal in Canada anyway. And for no dollars at all, you just joined the line, walked up to the front. When you got to the front, they asked you, what do you want to shoot? And you said, well, 17 or the 26 or the 22 or whatever. And they gave you 5 rounds of ammo, and up you went, and there is a whole gallery of gongs out in the range. Just pick which one you want to shoot at, light them up 5 times, and then when you're done...
Action stuff, wasn't it?
Yep. When you're done, go back to the end of the line, do it again. Yep. Many times you wanted. We were there all day.
Yeah, I went to a Glock day at the Calgary Shooting Center. Wasn't quite the same.
No?
You paid $20 and you shot 5 bullets, I think it was.
No, I like the McAdam one better then.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
You were there, and Harold was there, and
you
Nick
interviewed a liberal.
I interviewed a liberal, not just a liberal, but a liberal MLP. MLA. There you go. Whatever.
I know, because I was standing behind you when you did it.
Yes, that's right. You were there. That's right.
Was that the first time we met Filthy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, awesome.
And then
wow.
Filthy, didn't you come out to a Nipsic match another time too?
No. Oh yes, yeah. I did. You had a two gun.
You thought you got hit by a piece of shrapnel off a steel target, and I convinced you that no, you didn't, in fact.
Okay. I was wrong.
You were wrong. What if, yeah, that piece of metal sticking out of your chest, that was not a piece of Full Metal Jacketing.
Nah, no.
Yeah, so. Yeah, hey, Trevor, I just got hit by it. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't, man. So, Phil, what is your number 3?
My number 3 would have been your second multi-gun. That was the first one for me. Having never shot anything competitive, just unbelievable fun. I was completely unprepared, but it didn't matter. Just fun all day.
Stuck you with a cop, just in case you decide to get crazy. Is that the one where you shot with Officer Frank?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Nice. Cool. Owen, up to number 2.
Number two actually is running a level 2 IPSC match at the Woodstock Range. I think we've only done it once.
I think you're right.
Maybe twice, but yeah, and we We had a great turnout. We had a bunch of guys from Fredericton to come up, and you were there. Trevor, were you there? Yes, you were there.
Was this the cookies one?
Yes.
Yeah, see, Dogu stole me a bag of cookies. You never forget that sort of thing.
No, that's the sort of thing you wouldn't forget.
Not me.
Nope. Yeah, that was a Saturday or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed, and I have discovered this since I got into IPSC, I really like designing stages.
Yeah, thanks for that. I really don't enjoy your stages.
Because I love messing with people's head. And it was just a cool experience that day to shoot my own stages and go, wow, this is messed up. But then also to have other people like cursing me and, you know, just...
Well, that's it.
They're just puzzling.
You had guys show up that weren't just... Like, you had a lot of your Black Badgers, but you also had the crew show up from the Fredericton and St. John area who had been shooting matches around the province, and they were just as impressed with anything you did as anywhere else and challenged by it.
Yes.
And we had a lot of fun. I remember Matthew whipping a mag through the air and had it land exactly where he needed to be when he changed shooting positions.
That's where I had it just had to work out, and it did. Yep.
And then I had a mag change where I had the fresh mag in the gun before the other mag had actually hit the ground. Matthew got that on video and did a cool slow-mo of it. Saving the cookies was not easy, man.
Yeah, that was a fun match. I remember that. That was really good.
Yeah.
And both of you shot really, really well. It was Larry, Matthew, Owen was the...
I don't remember. I'm sure it was something like that, though.
And it was close. It was all like high 90s between you guys, like 96, 97, and 100 or something.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So, Trevor, that's up to your number two.
Number two is...
Filthy. No, wait, filthy.
Filthy. Stop having a seizure. Filthy. Sit still.
You got to sit still, man.
Sit still. You can talk. You're allowed to talk, Filthy. Just
okay. Sorry.
Take the phone out of your mouth.
What?
Hold it about 6 inches away from your face, and then don't move.
I'm not touching the phone. I've got this link through my helmet, guys. That's the problem.
Oh, understood.
Earth's technology doesn't link good sometimes.
The helmet linkage is always,
So my number two
No, it's Trevor.
You're number two?
Okay. Yeah, we'll get to you. You just shh.
My number two is actually thanks to Filthy. My number two is visiting the Machine Gun Museum for the first time.
That was an awesome experience.
Yeah. Going back tomorrow is going to be my third visit. Nice. I've never been in there for less than 3 hours, you know. And I think one time I only left because my back gave out and I couldn't stand up. Filthy, am I allowed to list off some of the guns that are in this museum?
Yes.
Two Tommy guns, AK-47, Sten guns, Bren guns, Mod Deuce, MAC-10, Uzi, a Lewis machine gun, a wall of Winchester lever actions, M14s, M1 Garands, M14s with the fun switch, M1 carbines, M2 carbines, full wood long branches, Enfield sniper rifles. The list goes on and on and on. There's a German captured Browning high power. There's a 100-year-old model of 1911. Who cares?
Yes, you know, it's they've got an extensive collection in there.
Mm-hmm. Howdy, do they ever? Yep. Man, what did I miss, Filthy? I must have missed one of these.
You can't list them all.
Handle Mausers, you really pistols.
Can't. Right, yeah. Handle Mausers.
Yeah.
Lugers, all kinds of Lugers. Man, just amazing stuff.
Walther PPK.
One of Matthew's favorites.
Yep.
There's not just one Lewis machine gun. There's at least two, and there's one that's still in the original crate that it was issued in. There's no telling whether or not that crate and that machine gun left the factory together. But, I mean, you're talking about a wooden crate that a World War I machine gun was issued in. Still there. I mean,
I believe the crate is worth more than the gun.
Probably.
It's got to be up there. You know, hard to find. Amazing. Amazing. So definitely in the top five of my firearms-related experiences, for sure.
Cool. All right, well, my number two is taking the high school students to the range.
The video that caused us to meet.
That was one of the videos that caused it, yes. And I don't know how many years ago it was now, a few.
least five.
At least five.
It was 2011.
Yeah. One of the teachers asked me to come in and give a little talk on gun control. She was doing world issues, and gun control was one of the topics that they were going to be talking about. And so she wanted me to come in and kind of give my stance on it and whatnot. And so we chatted about guns. It was a grade 12 class, and we just talked guns for, you know, an entire period. And by the end of it, just about every single one of them wanted to come out to the range with me and shoot guns.
You're a horrible ambassador.
Horrible. Yes. So we got permission forms and parents called and whatnot, and everybody got permission, and off to the range we went, and we shot guns, and there was a video of it and pictures and stuff, and they just had a blast. So it was one of my first times being able to champion sort of gun rights and guns in Canada, and kind of demonstrating them to be a very safe and very fun sport for anybody who wanted to get involved with it. So it just kind of stuck out in my mind as something that was fun to do and good results from it. So that was my number two. And a big shout out to Ruben. I'm sure he doesn't listen anymore, but if he does, Ruben, once again, thank you for lending us all the guns. So he had all kinds of really cool guns that the students got to shoot. So just a big thanks to him. So Filthy, what about your number two?
My number two would be the Thunderbird tactical course we took last year. That was, I learned so much. I learned that I have to leave my gloves on all day.
Sorry. I can't learn to shoot with them by taking them off. I get a little intense about these things.
Clearly.
I learned that.
Yell at you. I yelled towards you.
Well, we had hearing protection on, so it wasn't too harsh. I learned that my coat easily jams mags when I'm trying to put them into my mag pouch. I learned how much I sucked, actually.
I learned I need to secure my sling.
Yeah.
Went to hang my rifle and it fell.
I did that with a camera once. I have one less camera now.
Two less, because you also shot one once.
I did shoot a camera once. Yes, that was funny.
I never really hang my rifles.
You never let go of them, even when they're slung?
Well, occasionally. It depends on the situation, obviously.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I don't. I don't like to just let them drop. I may do that eventually, and there is some weight being taken off, because that's the point of the sling. Mm-hmm. But I always one hand, either...
You're always holding it.
Shooting hand. Something is on the gun to get it back into action quick. I never really completely let go of it.
Interesting.
Unless I need both hands to do something. But
yeah. Which, you know, when you're on the range for 6 hours like we were, it's going to happen.
Cool. All right. So I guess that brings us back to Owen with his number one.
Number one. Well, my number one... was meeting you and Trevor. And this was
going to an IPSC match in Fredericton, right?
This was going to an IPSC match in Fredericton this was back in the CRR days.
Yeah.
Trevor was on the show. Trevor was just newly, I think, on CRR at that point.
One thing I remember about this one is you telling us how to shoot the stages, having never shot before. Yes.
I'd never even seen an IPSC match before.
Yeah, I remember Trevor and I talking afterwards going, yeah, this guy's going to do well.
Yeah, exactly, because you weren't
just talking. Or were you wrong? So what I want to do is I want to read that email. Now, I don't know if you guys are going to let me because...
Go for it. I remember this email. This is hilarious. Go ahead.
So what I did is I wrote the next day or whenever, I wrote an email to Canadian Reload Radio to the host to just kind of recount my experience. Because I thought it was kind of a unique experience in meeting someone. Because you have to remember, people, I didn't know Trevor at all. I kind of knew Matthew maybe a little bit, but not really. I'd never met him. We talked a couple times on Facebook.
Yeah, I think that was about it. Yeah, you were, you know, to me, you were just another listener who happened to be local.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so they offered to pick me up on their way to Fredericton as they were going to go shoot this match. So I was like, oh, cool. So this is the email I wrote to the show. There are moments in one's life when you realize you are in the presence of greatness. There are moments when you stand in awe of the knowledge and professionalism of the people who you meet and have come to admire from afar. There are moments when words simply cannot express the joy and reverence felt in a person's heart. None of these moments were experienced last Saturday. After a sleepless night and early morning, I found myself sitting in my car just off the highway waiting for Matthew, drives too fast, McClatchy, and his cohort, Trevor Gunaday, for a lot. Funny how something never changed.
I know, eh?
The only word that was running through my mind was slackers. They were late. At least they had the decency to call me and tell me they were running late, but they were late even by that standard. Oh well, it happens to everyone, I thought. They arrive, and with trembling knees, I shake hands with these great champions of Canadian gun culture. After adjusting gear and moving junk from the back seat to the trunk, we all pile in and hit the road. Quite literally, as you'll see later on. Now, I'm sure many of you... Excuse you. Now, I'm sure many of the listeners think that the foolishness that happens on the show between Andy's moments of eloquent dialogue are part of the comic relief of the show. You know, to help keep things moving along and provide the listeners with some entertainment. Or maybe some of you assume that these antics are a result of too much alcohol or Dr. Pepper, or both. But I can assure you that this is the real deal. In fact, it's much worse. What you hear in the show isn't a fraction of the foolishness that goes on in real life between these two eminent hosts. The insulting banter, the ribbing, the low blows, the sucker punches, the foolish remarks, the teasing filled the car in a non-stop reel, like a CD skipping halfway through a word in a song. We arrive at the match, amazingly in one piece. Guns were shot, jokes were made, usually at Trevor's expense. I learned a great deal about reloading, IPSC, and immaturity in adults. After the match was over, I remembered that I still had Trevor's powder that he had asked I pick up for him at the local gun shop where I live. I gave it to him then so I wouldn't forget later. He said he would pay me back when we got to my car, an hour from the match, where there was an ABM that he could get cash from. This may seem odd part of the story, but it makes sense later. After packing up, we hit the road again in Matthew's little car, this time on a rough, unpaved back road, a.k.a. shortcut. I remember we actually turned around to take this shortcut. Swerving around potholes and results of frost heaves at a very high rate of speed. I'm not sure what we were running from. We began to hit the road quite literally. Every bump brought scraping from the bottom and rear of the car. These noises didn't bother Matthew a bit as he continued to white-knuckle his way through the shortcut back to the main road. Upon further
examination... We made excellent time, though.
We did. Yes, we did. Upon further examination, we discovered his exhaust hanging by the skin of his teeth. Don't forget that the whole while the banter, I can't even call it conversation, in the car sounded like an unending string of outtakes from the show. The next part of the plan involved lunch. Okay, let me back up a bit. I've decided that part of Trevor's plan to win the IPSC match that day was by causing at least one of his opponents, Matthew, to become weak with hunger. He did this by promising that there was food at the match to be provided, when in fact the absence of food only became more and more noticeable as our stomachs rumbled and rolled their way through the afternoon. He, on the other hand, enjoyed a wonderful lunch of subs and apples.
I remember that, too. I'm still hungry from it.
I don't remember guaranteeing anything.
I remember. Lunch. I remember.
Anyway, as the rest of the people in the car were starting to eye each other rather hungrily, we decided that food would be in order immediately upon reaching town. This, I'm sure, was phase two of Trevor's plan. By distracting me with hunger and then food, causing me to become drowsy and feeling very contented, all thoughts of the money he owed me disappeared from my mind, and apparently in his as well. Now, I know that on a recent show, Trevor talked about putting himself on a budget because he was maxing out his spending on guns and living beyond his means.
Yeah, ask me how that worked out.
Dude, ripping off the new guy isn't really good form. So at the end of the day, I was dropped off at my car with no powder or cash. A few years off my life, I'm sure, and a whole new perspective of the show. Nothing in my life could really have prepared me for this day. In fact, I think this may be a turning point in my life. The day I realized that maybe I should go to therapy.
And the therapist told you, it said, if you can't beat them, join them.
And so here
you are. That's what happened. So here I am now involved, yes, knowing these two better than I probably really want to know them. And yeah.
Well, dude, you stuck with us, so
I know.
Used to it.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, that was my meeting you guys, and yeah, it was.
Well, that wasn't barely sappy at all. Thanks, man.
All right, then, Trevor, what's your number one?
Mag 40.
Oh yes, well, I should have guessed that. Mag 40 would have been epic.
Yeah, traveling out of country, traveling with a firearm, the whole experience of the airport shenanigans with the Glock, and total different experience on the way down. I was searched on the way back. The Canadian Border Services agent was, you know, practically fondling it and asking how he could get his own gun. You know, meeting the gun dudes, meeting other podcasters, learning some new shooting techniques, getting 100% on my exam, shooting a 300, getting a signed dollar bill from Mass, meeting Gail and Mass. I mean, just, yeah, it's going to be hard to beat that.
I guess. Very nice. My number one is shooting 22s with Curtis. I know it seems like kind of anticlimactic, but that is literally the funnest thing I ever do, is Curtis and I grab the 22s. We do it right after they harvest in the fall. We go out, you know, an old potato field or whatever, and we'll just pick out a rock. What's that? And count. We count a potato in a potato field. We'll just pick out a rock. And it, you see that rock way out there? Which one? You know, see that hill there? And that there's a tree. Yeah, yeah, okay. See if I can hit it. And so we'll just, and you know, if it hasn't rained for a while, your hits are readily apparent whenever you shoot, you know, instant results, whether or not you hit it or not. And, you know, out to 300, 350, 400 yards, as far as we can see. If we can see something that's distinct, we try to hit it. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, that is literally the funnest thing I can do with a rifle, is just plink with a good friend and just see how you do. Just offhand, impromptu, unknown distances, just see if you can hit it. So much fun. So anyway, that's my number one. Awesome.
It's that sort of thing, Matthew, that kept you away from restricted rifles for so long, because that really is your passion, getting into the woods with the gun where you're free to do what you want.
Right. Yeah. Yep. That's true. Filthy, what's your number one, man?
My number one is shooting the M1 Grand of a real good friend of mine back in 2007, because that just hooked me and got me back into shooting.
Nice.
So everything that's led up to now is all from that day that I got to shoot that M1 Grand back in 2007.
That's awesome. And excuse you again.
I'm going to continue to show Filthy how to use his phone after the show.
Yes, please do. Please.
I'm sorry, I'm getting Facebook notifications by my email, and that's what's doing that.
Right, because you can't turn off the vibrate option. I mean,
but you can.
Wait. Yes, you can.
Remember that little menu item we were in a while ago called settings?
Yeah. That's hilarious. It's all right. It's not that big a deal. I probably won't even edit them out.
By his standards, it's pretty primitive technology. Really, yeah,
that's true.
It's all voice command, guys.
Have you seen the cod piece on his armor?
Okay. So on to listener feedback.
I can bring it to the charity shoot.
Matthew, can I throw in a couple of...
honorable mentions?
Yeah, I've got a couple of honorable mentions, actually, sure. that I couldn't figure out where to put on the list. But one was Para, because Tommy, as an instructor, just completely blew me away. I was very, very impressed.
That's right. I'm looking forward to his next course, too, coming up here shortly.
Absolutely. I got to pick a gun. Carbine Vitals 1.
Yep.
I mean, it was, well, you can't even call it Carbine Vitals 1. He thought we were a bit advanced, so he had us doing all kinds of crazy stuff. My Black Badge. You know, so many things started with my Black Badge. You know, you and I got started, and then that got me started into podcasting, and I got to meet Owen, and I got to meet Filthy, and it all kind of started at my Black Badge. Monitor this. listeners, I'm sorry you never got to see the monitor this video.
I still have it. Do you think I should put it back up? We didn't break any laws.
Doyle's gone. It pissed off a lot of people. Well, I mean, the other club that we were at where we made some video, they still, to this day, throw me under the bus at their AGM and talk about how I got their range busted. and
even though they were outside of the specs anyway.
Right. Right,
it was exactly your fault because they saw our video.
It was my fault that was stealing the range. It was my fault that
there
was,
okay. Yeah, we're not bitter, though.
No,
so
no,
maybe
no.
I won't make it live again. But anyway, we do still have the video. We should watch it again together sometime.
We definitely should, especially the fire extinguisher part. And then also another an honorable mention goes to the bullfrog hunting that you and I did.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Cause
my favorite part was the dog or the frog dancing and singing, "Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling." And then we ate him.
Yeah, there's a video of that.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Cooked it. We ate bullfrogs cooked in bacon grease. I mean, hello.
Hello.
So
delicious. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, Owen, do you have a Warriors Ethos project segment this week?
Nope.
All right, then. Well, I'm glad we added this segment here because it's worked out so well so far.
Well, yes, I do. It's attached to another email later in the show. So
I see. Then.
Super.
All right. That'll be great.
I have a rant. So we'll just.
Oh, good. All right. Well, Trevor.
Yes.
I'm going to read this first email and you're going to answer it.
Okay.
From Tyler. I would like an opinion on reloading dies. Tyler wrote in last week, and we didn't have an answer, and so we kept this email in for this week for Trevor to answer. I've got a Lee single-stage press, and I'm going to get dies for 9mm. Next year, I might get a Dillon 650, so I'm torn on die selection. Do I get a set of Dillon dies or a Lee four-piece set?
Can I stop right there?
Right there.
If you're going to reload 9mm on a single-stage press, get the dies suitable for a single stage. They are not the same as what you will put in your progressive press. The primary difference being you'll get a bell die, a die that you'll use specifically to bell the case mouth open to accept the bullet. Filthy, I'm going to make you eat that foam. I'm coming out there. I'm going to butt stroke you with my new NEA39. Sit still. Don't make me yet.
It's the phone.
We don't want to have another glove incident, Filthy.
It's the phone. It's not me.
Yeah. It's the phone. It's your phone. So, back to the dies. Yeah. If you're going to reload 9 on a, you can, no, you're kind of not, no. There are two sets of dies. A die set for a single stage press is not the same as a die set for a progressive press. The thing is, you can use single stage dies in a progressive press easier than you can the other way around. A Dillon 650, the powder station, the station where you will put powder into your case, it does multiple things. That's the same station you'll seat your primer. It's the station you'll put a powder charge into the case, and you'll also bell the case in that same station. Okay? You can't do all of that on a Lee. Well, actually, you kind of can. There's a belling die that allows you to dump powder down the die if you use the funnel, and you can use your Lee primer system. So, for the most part, Tyler, the dies are not interchangeable.
So he's going to need to get two sets of dies then.
Yeah, if you're going to continue on the Lee, get a set of Lee single stage 9mm dies. When you buy your Dillon, you're going to buy it set up for one caliber. It'll come with one set of dies and one caliber conversion kit. Just buy it set up for 9mm at that time.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the rest of his email too, basically. Okay. So that's perfect. Excellent. So there you go, Tyler. You finally have your answer. Trevor, why don't you bring us this next one from Steve?
Steve says, "Hey guys, I've been listening for 5 or 6 months, and I've really been enjoying the conversation and information discussed. However, recently, it has kind of strayed away from what I and several of my shooting friends and I have come to enjoy. I fear the word, if I hear the word appleseed again, I will go nuts. And not so sure why the last.
That's kind of a funny play right there.
That is kind of funny right there, yeah.
Not squirrels, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. And I'm not sure why the last episode turned into gardening and an aviation show. I enjoy aviation, but that's not why I tune in. Just a rant from a cranky maritimer who had to clear the snow off his car this morning. Yeah, that's not cool given when this email was written. It's your show. You can talk about what you want to. I'm a big Milsurp rifle shooter, and a show on some of those rifles might be fun. Talk to you later, Steve. Steve, I'm not a Milsurp guy, but even I would rather talk about Milsurps than aviation or gardening or appleseed for that matter. Just saying. In our defense, we haven't been really pushing Appleseed like all the other shows. We're not Appleseed Radio like some of the other shows. But and aviation, I mean, cut the guys a break. They just bought an airplane. Naturally, they're going to talk about it for a little while. That's normal. The gardening, well, it's springtime, and we do talk a little bit of prepping once in a while, so you're going to hear a little bit of gardening in the springtime. But, yes, we are a gun show, So I mean, give these guys their way, they wouldn't even let me talk about archery, and at least that's a shooting sport. So
yeah, we let the archery in, so it is a shooting sport, and we'll try to keep the other stuff to a minimum. And it wasn't that bad last week. I think there was like two references. I made the 104 joke, and then I made the, you know, we talked a little bit about the ultralight. But you know, next week, Owen, when I'm landing the ultralight in your garden. And then we go and milk the cow.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about raw milk this week either, but anyway, here we go.
All right, so Owen, do you want me to read this and you can reply to it?
Yep.
Okay, so this
I'm just going to go get a beer because this is going to, I can't listen to this.
This is important, Trevor. You're lactose intolerant. You should be listening to this.
It's why I'm not listening to it, because I'm lactose intolerant. I don't care. What does this have to do with the gun show?
You could drink raw milk.
Why can't you just answer this guy on your own time?
Because it's funnier this way.
No, it's not. This is going to cost us listeners.
Steve, this is to you, man. You wanted to hear more about guns, so here's a lot about raw milk.
This is not funny.
It kind of is.
No.
From Mark. Hi, guys. Slamfire Radio continues to be one of the podcasts that I look forward to each week. I've seen or heard a few things that might indicate that Owen milks a cow as part of his home food production. If I'm right, could Owen take a few minutes on the show to discuss the subject, including the controversial virtues?
Wrong, Owen doesn't have a cow.
He doesn't.
That should be the end of it.
Yeah. Owen doesn't have a cow, but he wants to hear about the virtues of raw milk. Now, hold on.
Yeah.
We have been milking a house cow for almost 25 years now and just about go through withdrawal when we don't have one. Have a good week, Mark. Now, listen, first of all, a little disclaimer. We did add a prepper's corner to a gun show. And so that means we are going to talk about things other than guns from time to time. So I think it's perfectly fine if we're going to have Owen on and talk about Warrior Ethos stuff, his project. I mean, whether we're talking gardening or whether we're talking food preparation, the whole show is not about guns. A lot of it is.
My question is what's a house cow? How does he fit the cow in his house? That's my question, actually.
All right. So here's the I guess our compromise here is we're going to do whatever we want. And no, I'm kidding. We do appreciate our listener feedback. And so if we're talking too much about this stuff,
we're going to ignore it.
Maybe. If we're talking too much about this stuff, write in and tell us. And if we're not, keep asking us questions, and we're going to keep answering them. So that's the way it's going to go. You ask a question, we're going to answer it.
But Trevor, here's the thing. We're ignoring somebody no matter what.
That's true.
We're either ignoring Steve or we're ignoring Mark. So, you know.
So we're going to read them both.
We're going to read them both. And yeah.
So Owen, rant away about raw milk, would you?
Okay. You want to know something that really ticks? And I'm just reading this because I had written this already previously.
That's
grinds
okay.
Your gears.
Whatever. Huh? This grinds his gears, yes.
Grinds your gears, yeah.
Yeah.
This grinds my gears.
All right.
The fact that anyone over the age of 19 can walk into any corner store and buy a little white stick that will likely give them cancer. They can buy alcohol and drink till their liver is shot. They can eat a McDonald's hamburger every day of the week and drink pop full of sugar. But it's illegal to sell raw milk. Okay. Now, I know he wanted to hear about the virtues, but I'm going to talk about the legality of it because that's more of my pet peeve. Now, it's not illegal to drink it.
I'm not going to tell you what you want. I'm going to tell you what I want to say.
Now, it's not illegal to drink it, but you can't drink it if you can't buy it, obviously. So one of the most pure and nutritional liquids on the face of the planet has been named a hazardous product. I've read the law. It's actually labeled a hazardous product by our government and made illegal to be sold in its raw, most pure state. How many meat recalls have you heard of? How many lettuce, spinach, or other foods have been recalled due to E. coli or Listeria? Just think about it. You hear it all the time.
Yeah, I can remember many of them.
Yeah, yet they don't ban the sale of those foods. It's not illegal to sell hamburger or spinach.
Yeah, but just think of the children.
Yeah. Wait. Did you know that the pasteurization of milk started before they even knew whether the bacteria in raw milk was good or bad? They had just created germ theory in the late 1800s and discovered that raw milk had bacteria in it with no way to test. Like, they had no way of testing it. They just knew that there was bacteria. They started pasteurizing it to make it safe to drink. Just because they assumed that it's bacteria, it's gotta be bad. There was no concept of good bacteria. Anyway, and it's been that way ever since. So from the late 1800s, it's been that way. So once again, we have government who is relying on out-of-date conclusions to force its will upon the people. honestly, I believe that when it became officially illegal in Canada in 1991 to sell raw milk, it was done to protect the milk marketing boards. They wanted to, quote-unquote, create a fair and equal system of milk production, that's a quote from the law, so that nobody has a monopoly on the milk supply in our stores. So what they did, what they do, they went and created a monopoly, forcing all the farmers to sell their milk to the marketing board. As you can tell, I'm a little steamed up about this. I don't have a problem with some regulations, you know, standards of practice to make large food production systems safe and all that. But making the sale of something that's as nutritional and wholesome as milk really takes the whole government oversight thing too far once again.
Oh, and in some U.S. states, it's illegal to collect rainwater.
Yeah.
I know. Just boggles my mind.
Yep. Stuff is only illegal when they can't tax it. Marijuana is another example. I mean, talk about going off on a squirrel, but, you know, on one hand, the government says it's a medicine and you can get a prescription for it. On another hand, it's a controlled substance and illegal for me to grow myself.
Yep.
So, and that's because if I grow it myself, they're not getting any tax dollars off of it, so it's illegal. But if it's grown as a medicine, they can tax it. Then it's okay. That really pisses me off because one of these days I'm going to have one of the counselors from Addiction Services in my classroom telling kids that drugs are bad, and little Johnny in the back room is going to go, then why does my mother have a prescription for glaucoma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the government has to pick a stance. It can't be a drug and a medicine at the same time, right? And
well, the government just keep their nose out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, then, I mean, this does kind of tie in a lot of ways because it's very similar to a lot of the gun law stuff that we talk about and government oversight and meddling, overregulating that it does. And this is just another example in another area, but it's a very similar thing. The citizens can't think for themselves. Therefore, us, the all-knowing government, must tell them what is good for them.
When they are made up of just regular citizens.
Exactly.
That's right. You don't suddenly gain IQ points because you get elected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
All right. So we're
good. Yeah. Just a quick detail on the actual email. No, I do. We don't milk a cow. We do drink only raw milk. We have family that has.
And here's something interesting. And we're going to stop talking about milk real soon. I promise.
And then I got a milk story too. But you, then me, Matthew.
Okay. So a couple more milk stories. I do not like milk. The only time I will drink milk is if it's chocolate milk or strawberry milk or in cereal and there's sugar in it. Like I can't just take a glass of milk and drink it. But when I'm at Owen's and he's got raw milk there, I drink it and it's delicious. I love it. It's fantastic. I love raw milk. It's great.
Now I've shared this with Owen before. I don't think human beings should drink milk. We're the only animal on the planet that drinks milk after we've been weaned, and it's not even our own. It's the milk of another animal. I know there's supposed to be all kinds of good things in it, but those good things are available in other food sources too, and I don't think we should be drinking milk, but that's not even my milk story. Christina, same as you, Matthew. She doesn't buy milk, but we used to, when I lived in Beldoon, the mayor of Beldoon was a dairy farmer. So we were friends with him and we'd go over there once in a while and hang out and he'd offer us drinks and I would have, you know, one time his wife said, Christina, can I get you a drink? Do you want a glass of red wine? Do you want a beer? Do you want a rye? And she's like, could I have some milk? Because she knew she was getting raw milk, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, and this is the thing with the lactose intolerant issues that people have and things like that that never existed before. And this whole idea that we shouldn't drink milk because, you know, we're the only creatures on the planet that do that, because I don't think we're animals. But anyway, that, you know, that is that's a very recent modern theory. And I think a lot of it stems from the fact that it stems from the fact that people have grown up only drinking pasteurized milk. There's so much good stuff.
Europeans don't drink milk like we do. North America created a dairy industry for consumers. It was created as an extra product to sell to people. They don't do it in Europe.
If it's nutritious, why not? I mean, we eat cows. Why can't we drink their milk?
And here's another point.
We don't have to.
Why are we still talking about milk?
The milk is certainly a heck of a lot more healthy for you to drink than probably 50% of everything else you put in your body, including probably the water that you drink. You know, there's plenty of bad stuff that we put into our bodies, but yet, not milk. You know, it's not necessary. Well, neither is the beer you had or the pop. you know, or the hamburger. You know,
yeah, it's like, true, Trevor. We're humans are the only animals that drink alcohol, so you think we should stop that too?
No, that's not true.
Alcohol. Oh, yeah, not the same way we do.
All right.
Well, yeah, no, we're done with milk there. Now.
Yeah,
no,
from Mark.
Yeah, yeah. So, Owen, actually, it's your turn to read this, even though you've been going for a while now. But
Mark says, is another Mark. Another Mark says, hi, guys. I have a few questions about the charity shoot. How many rounds will I need for the 22 shoot, and how far away are the targets?
Okay, well, let's answer these as they go. Yeah, so you'll need, 50 rounds, I think, and the targets are 25 yards?
No, and no.
All right, perfect.
The targets are about 18 meters from the firing line to the shoot where they'll be.
So 18 meters, yeah.
And you shoot, was it 5 times 5?
25.
Is there 5 animals?
I think so.
Ram, turkey.
I think there's 4 animals.
No, 4 animals. Yeah, so you shoot 4 animals.
Chicken, turkey, ram, and pig, right?
Yeah. And what do we do, it once or twice?
I thought we did it twice.
Twice? All right. So, yeah, bring 50 will definitely get you through.
So 50 is a good answer, and closer than 25.
Because you'll get some warm-up. So bring 100. Do you want to have some warm-up?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Second question, how many rounds for the 100-meter rifle shoot?
That depends. Do we want to go with the actual competitive format that Don Alexander sent in, or do we just want to continue to have it a recreational free-for-all?
I really think that people enjoy being able to just walk up and down the line and just shoot guns for fun.
I concur. Yeah. So there is no limit or maximum. Bring whatever you want for the rifle.
Yep, it's just a fun shoot.
Yeah. If you want to shoot like my TAC-21, bring your own 308 and I'll let you shoot it. But other than, bring whatever you want for your own. And it's not only at 100.
Goes up to 2.
The range goes all the way to 2. So if you want to put a target at 200, have at her.
Question 3. How many rounds for the mini IPSC match or the IPSC mini match? And will you penalize me if I run cocked and locked? Oh, and what is the retention test for a holster?
No retention test, less than 100 rounds, and no, we're not going to penalize anybody for anything. Just make sure you got 9mm and above, and a holster covers the trigger guard.
Yeah, your retention test is if you run and your gun falls out, you get disqualified. That's basically what happens.
But I'm going to try and make it movement-free as much as possible.
Cool.
Because there's no black badge required, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. All right, question 4. How many rounds for the skeet clay trap things? Cough. You know where I can borrow a shotgun?
Yes, and 25. And everybody shot at least one round last year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the club is selling ammo. Did we sell ammo last year?
You did, yes.
We did? Okay. Yep. I'll text McIntyre and find out if we're going to sell ammo again this year so that we can announce to the listeners.
Sure. Either way, though, bring at least 25 rounds because that's what a round is in trap. So 25 shots. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can borrow my shotgun if you want. As long as we're not in the same line, I'm sure you can borrow a whole bunch of people's different shotguns. I'm not going to say who will let you and who won't, but I will tell you that you can use mine.
Same here.
Yeah.
Question 5. I think this is a question.
Yeah.
This is my first time traveling with my guns, and I was wondering what you guys do with them. Keep them in the hotel until needed, or take them in your car when you go out to eat, etc.
Well, I wouldn't drag my restricteds all over town. I would leave them in the hotel.
That being said, I wouldn't leave my restricteds in the hotel.
Yeah, there you go.
Just be discreet with them and follow your ATT to the best of your ability.
Yeah, and if that means leaving them at my place, we can talk.
Yep.
Okay. And finishes with, congratulations on Ron finally getting his private plane. Just buy the Fly Guys gray pilot outfits. It'll match nicely with your suit without stealing your spotlight.
Nice. Also, thanks to Mark for the latest jib jab.
Oh, there's a new jib jab? I haven't seen it yet.
No. You guys haven't seen it yet?
No, I have seen it. Don't. Nobody should look at it.
I couldn't finish it.
Although, having said that, Trevor, you've never looked better.
I got to go find this.
He made you the fat guy, so that's funny.
That is funny.
Really? I got to find this.
Fat guy?
Oh, I'll give you a hint, Matthew.
Yeah.
You're sexy, and we all know it.
Oh, good. I was hoping I would be.
Yeah, there could be other comments inserted here, but now we're going to move on to this email from Kelly.
Yes, and Kelly writes, "Hey, guys, I just read this article on the M14 and was wondering what Owen's take was on it, as he's the one with the M305. So he sent us a link to an M14 story, I'm guessing. Did you read it, Owen?
I did, and it's very long. Okay. basically, it says the M14 is not all it's cracked up to be, and while it's put up as this, you know, pinnacle of engineering, it's really a piece of crap. basically what it says.
So what's your take on that?
A lot of the comparisons in the article are simply comparing apples to oranges. You just can't compare an AR-15 or an AK-47 to an M14.
They're completely different platforms. All of them. They're even all completely different calibers.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, to say that, you know, the AR-15 is decidedly superior in many ways, you know, the factors considered, it's superior, and that's why they use it now and not the M14, because they didn't need a 308 anymore. They want a 308. They wanted to carry more ammo. So, you know, the article, I think, a little bit set out just to trash the M14. I couldn't really speak to a lot of the, you know, they started talking about, you know, certain percentage of these rifles had, you know, this many issues with them from this company. And there was a lot of details in there that I was like, I don't even know what they're talking about. I was just going to say, but I think for what it is, I don't think it's necessarily a bad gun. I think like any gun that's been made by multiple manufacturers, which I believe the M14 and it's,
I would think so.
Clones.
At least two, Norinco and the other guys.
That's right. you're going to have good ones and you're going to have bad ones and you're going to have, it's like 1911s. So you're going to have people that I'm going to say that make them and they turned out great and they're going to make them and they don't work hardly, they're not very good.
I disagree. So, I think the issue is with the design of the action. Are you guys familiar with like the 1911? Are you guys familiar with Ian from Forgotten Weapons? He's also a co-host on the Gun Nation.
Nope.
He did a study. They did some torture testing comparing the M14, the Garand, and the AR platform. And, you know, the whole throw it in the mud, throw it in the sand, and all this stuff. And it just locked up and died and failed right away with the least little bit of dirt in the action. So it's not a question of the different manufacturers making it. I believe it's a question of the design of the action does not lend itself well to any introduced debris.
Yeah. I can see that. But again, some of that is you can't compare an AR to an M14, just like you can't compare a Glock to a 1911.
Well, you can if you're asking the question, should this have been replaced or not? And it was replaced. And it was replaced with a firearm that proved to be more reliable.
Yeah. And there's a lot of quotes in this article and different things where they talk about, you know, various phases that the M14 went through as the military tried to make it work for their, you know, purposes, accurizing it and all this sort of stuff. But to make a statement like this, I guess I can't make that one because there's some language in it. But basically to say no matter who did the accurizing, it is about as accurate as a thrown rock. Well, no, not really. You know, like there's just some things in there that, yeah, maybe if you compare it to, you know, a high-end Savage bolt gun, it's not very accurate.
Well, but yours is plenty accurate.
I've got one that shoots sub MOA. So,
And you don't have a SOCOM. You know, you have a Chinese clone.
Exactly. And,
Anyway,
you know, so I think the article was set out with its conclusion in mind, and then built her case around it, but. But I don't think that everything in it was necessarily untrue either, as far as, you know, some of those kind of issues, like you say, you know, Trevor, that there is some flaws to the design. It's good what it's good for, but yeah, maybe it's not going to stand up to the rigors of what the military wanted it for originally.
It's still a relevant firearm, though. It's still being used, and you look at some of the modernizations, you look at a SOCOM. You look at some of the chassis systems like what Troy has out there, or there's another one that the U.S. Coast Guard is using. I forget what it's a three-letter abbreviated it's another one of those really ultra modern looking chassis systems that they drop M14s into.
About the Sage?
Yes, the Sage. Thank you, Filthy. Welcome back. I thought we lost you. Yeah, the Sage. I mean, you know, geez. But they're firing the Sage out of a helicopter or off of a boat, so chances of it being filled with sand are, you know. So.
Well, that's the thing. Again, they're using the rifle as a specialty firearm, mm-hmm. not the, you know, grunt assault mm-hmm. rifle, to mm-hmm. use that term. You know, it's yeah. not the M16 that is going to be, you know, in the trenches day in, day out. This is a specialty rifle. And
so, I mean, you've got the option of the AR-10, but this thing, they're still looking at this thing and going, hey, but we can use this if we do this to it, and it's still good. So, yep. All right.
Cool.
Oh, he's all got right. more.
Yes. He says, by the way, thanks for reading my email on episode 100. I think Matt did a bang-up job doing a great Clint Eastwood impression. Although he didn't take into account that the Smith & Wesson 617 is a 10-shot revolver, not a 6. Dang it, I knew I got something wrong. Regardless, Dirty Harry probably would have just pistol-whipped the bad guy by then. It would have done more damage than firing a few more rounds of 22 long rifle from a 4 or 6-inch barrel. Oh, and for Trevor's information, I do happen to be a guy. My buddy Jason had a laugh at the fact that Trevor was so confused by the thought of a reader named Kelly. Hate to say it, but it's not the first time people have assumed I was a girl.
It's just funnier that way, that's all.
My high school sent me alumni letters for years addressed to Ms. Kelly Kim. I also had a roommate named Leslie, who happened to be a 6'7" tall, 300-pound rugby player, and he had it worse than I did. What's that?
My buddy's name was Derek Leslie, and another one of her friends, her sister's name was Leslie, so she wanted to marry Derek Leslie, so her name could be Leslie Leslie.
he finishes off saying, at least I didn't receive tampon samples in the mail. Poor Leslie. Anyway, keep up the great work, and I'll keep listening. In the meantime, I'm going to have to keep reminding my buddy Jason that his first real first name is Francis, in hopes that he'll shut up for a while. And that comes to us from Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. Trevor's thanks. Not sorry.
That's true. All right. This next one comes to us from Josh. He says, hi, Owen. Just wanted to say I enjoy having this segment in the show. Would love to hear more on gardening. Christ, why am I reading this one? As well as fruit and berries, as I would like to plant something this spring. You know, Owen has a blog, and you go over and read that and email him at his blog. Maybe Matthew could give some tips on how to keep partridge from eating your crops as well. Oh, Josh.
I hate you, Josh. I hate you. So yeah, it's my birthday today. And
damn, that's right.
Everybody on Facebook is wishing me happy birthday, as they do. You know, whatever.
Happy birthday, Matthew.
Like, at least 20%. Shut up, Trevor. At least 20%. of these people are obviously our listeners are saying, hey, go out and shoot a partridge. Oh, I'm about to lose my mind. They're grouse people, and they know that. They're just doing it to bug me, and it's hilarious, but I'm just going to
go shoot a partridge.
I'm going to go shoot a real partridge. I'm just going to go shoot a partridge. I'll be done with it.
There you go.
I'll just start calling them partridge from now on. I don't even care anymore. Anyway, thanks to everybody who sent me birthday wishes. That's my little quick shout out. That's a little early and unrelated. Sorry.
And I say thank you to Josh for the email, and probably I won't answer that right now, anything dealing with fruits and berries, but definitely check out my blog, because I am going to be, it's that time of year, and we're going to be putting more of that stuff in. I'm actually really into fruits and berry stuff right now, because we are planning on putting in a permaculture orchard. And so over the next year and a half, there's going to be blogs and all that kind of information. Going up about that. So
I have a question, Owen, just in case my wife is listening. How important is it to weed your garden? Hey, Barry.
Well, that's a bit of a tricky question, because
okay, then, never mind. I don't want to hear about it. Yeah. Move on, Matthew. The only correct answer there was very. Matthew, carry on.
So it's
she
very important
garden
to,
and then
to
complains
weed.
Nothing grows. I go out there one day and I can't tell the garden for the weeds. I'm like, you can't just plant grew. This thing and walk away.
Something grew. It just wasn't what you
yeah.
intended.
It didn't.
No, yeah, you got
well.
You've got a weed. You've got to basically cut down on the competing stuff. Using mulch really cuts down on the weeding. So if you mulch around your plants once they get up a little bit, you really don't have to weed nearly as much. So
So what the mulch does is just sort of keeps the sun from hitting the ground so the weeds don't grow?
Well, yes, that's right. It's weed suppression. It's like if you threw a tarp or a piece of plywood down on your lawn, it would kill everything underneath of it, right? Nothing would grow there.
Bolivar has probably stopped listening by now, but if you still are listening, Brian, I'm sorry. He actually called me and said, so are you guys going to talk about gardening tonight? And I said, God, I hope not. And I just encouraged some garden talk. Guns. I like guns. Guns are good. So if a listener
let me do it this way. So if you took your AR-15 and threw it out on your lawn, before you got arrested because you didn't have an ATT for that, it would kill all the grass underneath of it. So it's just kind of like that.
Oh, okay. Is that better? So cover the weeds with ARs. Got it.
There you go.
So, beauty. Matthew, love it.
If someone wants to email us to ask us about guns, how do they do that?
Slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now, if you want to ask Owen about gardening, that's Warrior Project. No, what's your email address for? I forget it.
WarriorPodcast@gmail.com.
That's
or you
it,
can go over
right
to the
there.
Blog, which is
Warrior.
Sorry, go ahead. It's warriorsethos@wordpress.com. And you can, I think there's a way there to post a comment or send me a message or something. So,
or something.
Or Facebook.
Cool. Well, if you want to, we don't have an iTunes review. I actually just checked now. So if you want to send us an iTunes review, that'd be awesome. And we'll read it on next week's show. We do appreciate all the iTunes reviews we get. We do appreciate all the emails we get, even if they're about raw milk and gardening. Well, Owen appreciates them. Trevor and I, well, whatever. but yeah, shout outs. So first of all, one to Spencer. He sent a gun rights versus gun control article that was really cool to read. So it was U.S. mostly, and it was basically stating that as gun rights grow, as people want more gun rights, they want less gun control, which I guess is sort of makes sense. But it's interesting to see that even despite the mass shootings and stuff that have gone on in the States, people still want more gun rights and less control. And crime rates still are falling despite people wanting this. So it was a really good article. So thank you to Spencer for sending that in. One to Derek. And Derek made, what did he make for us?
500 Whisper keychains.
That is awesome.
So
what's a 500 Whisper for people who don't know?
500 Whisper is when a mommy bee, a 50 BMG, and a daddy 338 Lapua love each other very much, and they share a special hug, and what comes out of it is a wildcat that's based on the 500 BMG projectile and the 338 Lapua case. So you cut the case, neck it down on a lathe, and cram the 50 BMG projectile in there, and it's great for like suppressed rifles out to like 600.
Because we're allowed to have suppressed rifles in Canada, right?
Not us, but people with the right licenses and whatnot, I guess, could, but
yeah,
not us. So, so he made those for us.
Anyway, thank you, Derek. That is awesome.
Derek, for those that don't know, if you haven't heard him before, he is the Filthy's buddy who does the tours of the Machine Gun Museum. So I'll be seeing him shortly. Filthy, yep. Do you have any shout-outs?
Oh, sorry. I'll give one to Derek since he is going to give us a tour of the museum tomorrow, and to our buddy Chris, who's going to help us build a grand on Saturday.
Is Chris listen?
Occasionally.
Oh, well, awesome. Yeah, big shout out to Chris then for sure, because without him, no grand for me, and without you.
We should actually send Chris Anderson another shout out, eh, Owen?
Yes, absolutely. We'd be very remiss to forget that.
What did he do, Owen?
Oh my goodness! This made my day, and I think it was mentioned before, we got a couple GoPros from him that he had used and wasn't using.
We didn't actually mention that we had gotten GoPros.
Okay.
We just said that we were getting some. So he sent us some GoPros.
So I get this box that is way too big for GoPros cameras, even with all the accessories. And so I opened it up. Now Matt knew this, that other stuff was coming, but I didn't. So I opened it up, and Chris must have just walked through his house and said, I don't have anything to pack around these GoPros. I'm just going to throw in random stuff that I have in my house just so the GoPros don't get damaged. But so there's a Gerber fixed blade knife. There's a Gerber folding knife. There's a Gerber water bottle. There's a Gerber multi-tool. There are multiple books. There are multiple games. The board games, card games. I'll get, maybe Trevor, you should come down. We'll play the drinking game.
Oh, nice.
City Santa. there are bags and bags of candy, of like this weird Japanese candy that I have no idea what's in it because or what it is because it's all in Japanese.
Nice.
What else, Matthew? There was these like vinyl pack, like I don't know what they were, nylon case thingies. Anyway. Yeah, there was. It was packed full of goodies.
Please tell me he didn't send you something that looks a lot like a flashlight but has no bulb in it.
He did not.
No,
because this is Chris we're talking about.
Yes, I know. No, there was fire starter. There was. It was like Christmas here. I was pumped because I was not expecting that at all. So
that's awesome. Sadly,
huge set.
It doesn't look like he's going to make it to this year's shoot.
That's terrible.
But that's why he's going to help host next year's charity shoot in Ontario, and then he'll have a great idea of missing it because he's going to help host it. So
that's
it here first, folks. The charity shoot is moving back to Ontario next year, and Chris Anderson is a huge part in making that happen. So big show to Chris.
And he just found out about it now. that's hilarious. All right, any other shout-outs?
I have a couple. One, obviously, to you, happy birthday. I remembered to text you this morning but forgot to out you on the show, so happy birthday. So you're like 30.
Thanks. You were the first person to wish me happy birthday, and I didn't even know what you were talking about. You're like, HBD, man. I'm like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
Excuse you.
Like, Harry, what now? What?
Yeah, you reply back, Harry Bird something? I don't know, but no, that's not what I meant.
Heavy battle damage? I don't know.
HBD, man. HBD. And then to Sticks and the Mad German. They're about to start shooting a Mag 40 tomorrow. So that's Ooh. Awesome. I want Sticks to that get the awesome. $5 bill. He's due, so I think he's got what it takes. Just one shot at a time, big guy. One shot at a time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And to RJ for scoring me a Mag 40 medallion. This is something now that they're giving out to the Mag 40 graduates. It's kind of like a challenge coin, but it's not really, and it's got some a slogan on it and Mag 40. And so he scored me one of those at his Mag 40. So he's all about the training. He went to a Mag 40, and then he went to one of Paul Carlson's classes with Jess. And I think, do we still have him coming out to ours? Is that awesome?
Yes, he's paid in full for the...
Both or just one?
Tommy shoot. So, well, I'm not taking... Sorry, for the Daniel Shaw shoot. I'm not taking money for the Tommy shoot. You're paying him directly.
But is he coming to Tommy, do we know?
I don't know either.
Hmm.
Not sure.
He's been out here a lot, so... and that's a good thing. Love having them out, so... So big shout out to that. I got that in the mail. Didn't get around to sending you a personal message. So, hey, shout out to you, man. Thanks for getting that for me. That's awesome.
Very cool.
And to Filthy.
Yeah, and thanks for Filthy for joining us on the show.
My pleasure, guys.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome.
We finally found somebody who talks less than Owen.
Yeah, didn't say much, although his phone spoke to us quite a bit.
Helmet interface.
Just saying.
Helmet interface. Sorry, helmet interface.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. Check out the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcast.com. Lots of cool material on there. Join any or all of our National Firearms Associations. It's important to support them because they help support you. Check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. We have a little forum in there. We talk about stuff. Double Op Buck is there quite a bit. Every now and then Dirty comes in and says hi. So that's always fun. And like us on Facebook, if you don't mind. If you're on that Facebook thing anyway, you might as well head on over, give us a like
because,
there.
Sorry, but Action Shooting Radio was about to pass us.
That's
I
a big name.
I love the show, love the guys, but no, this can't happen.
No. You gotta save us, guys. Get us back up above them.
Which reminds me, I'll be on with them next week and not with us, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, well, this is the first I've heard of this. Didn't like you anyway.
That hurts, man.
No, it doesn't. You don't have
feelings.
I have
two. One is hate, the other is greed.
There you go. At least you understand what they are.
I'm very self-aware of my feelings. I'm in touch with my emotions, darn it.
We'll see you guys next week.
Take somebody shooting? Wait, no, that's not my line. Damn it.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over.
time to get a gun.
10 seconds. Sound checks, sound checks, everybody, sound checks. 4,
no, Bronco. How?
3,
no, Bronco.
3, 2,
2, 1.
Hey, everyone, and Owen interrupted the
you
intro.
Never say one.
Good job.
You never say
good
one.
Well, he was still talking. Fingers. He was still talking.
I was going to say blast off, but he cut me off.
Yeah, well. All right, let's try this again.
Ready? Oh, that was good.
No, it wasn't. That was terrible. All right, here we go for reals this time.
Does that mean there's multiple reels if it's reels? Is plural?
I also want to say for reels, yo. For reels, yo. For shizzle. This one's for real, yo.
That's funny right there. I don't care. Yeah.
Shut up.
Freaking start already.
10 seconds. I want an even number. I got 10 seconds to go. Here we go. Quiet. On the set. Gosh. You guys can edit if you want. All right. Here we go. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 105 for May 1st, 2015 of Slamfire Radio, I guess. I didn't say the name. I should say the name. 105. See, I was all proud of myself. I said 105 instead of 105.
Thank you, and I was going to point that out. I'm like, oh, he said it right. Does it matter? Do I point it out or do I let it go?
What?
Can it be 105?
I could say 105, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say 105 now.
Okay. Oh.
5 after 10.
All right. Here we go. We'll try this again. What? I screwed it up.
Yeah, but this was a funny intro.
They're all going to be funny intros.
They're all going to be funny outtakes.
On the end. All right, 10 seconds.
You said that a while ago, and you didn't actually, like, you just, like, jumped. You didn't actually.
5 seconds.
Oh, count.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 105 of Slamfire Radio for May 1st, 2015. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew the Warning Shot McClatchy, and joining me this week...
What?
No?
And Owen.
Trevor's joining you.
And?
And Owen.
And Owen. I threw you off, huh?
You threw us way off. Like you just
as if we were guests. It's the Matthew Show with his guests, Trevor and Owen.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You're just cluing into this now?
Oh, so it's like that. Now it's 105. It's official.
Once you get to 105. Oh, sorry. I said and in there.
So wrong.
All right. So is that the one we're using then?
Oh, and I need more elixir storage. I should put this away. All right. Carry on, Matthew.
I don't even.
This week,
I'm getting a visitor, guys. Jake is here, and he's bringing me an AR. That's awesome.
Say hi, Jake.
Say hi, Jake. Say nice and loud. Just any AR. Oh, this is the honey badger. Ooh. I have here, Filthy and Jake's PDW.
Nice.
And they've named it. Why is this called the honey badger, Jake? Okay, speak nice and loud. In Call of Duty Ghosts, it's called the Honey Badger. Now, Jake, is this what you're going to use during the zombie apocalypse? Awesome. Where's your dad? Okay, so you just decided to come down and crash the show? Awesome. Well, we're glad. Can you guys hear it, Jake?
Just very barely.
Okay, say nice and loud. Say hi, Slamfire listeners. Say it right there.
Hi, Slamfire listeners.
Good job.
Awesome. Thank you, Mini-Me. And thanks for bringing me an extra AR, because you can never have too many. See you, buddy. That was awesome.
Oh, yes, it is. That's a 30
elementary-sized child just comes into the room and hands me an AR. Are you coming on? Soon. Okay. All right. I'll hold your AR while you're... Thanks. Awesome. So as the listeners may have surmised... that's the word of the day, May. I'm at Filthy's place.
It's not May till tomorrow, actually.
Didn't say it was the calendar May. It's the other May.
This is the worst start of the show ever.
Hey, man, we had a special guest appearance, Mini-Me.
Yeah, that was the best part.
So far, yeah.
So far.
We've got nowhere else to go but down now.
All the way down.
So,
all right.
So I'm at Filthy's, and hopefully he'll be joining us shortly.
That'll be cool. So while we're waiting for him to join us shortly, Owen, why don't you tell us what you did with guns this week?
Sure. Because I actually did something this week, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Just because what I did wasn't enough.
Right.
All I did was dry fire practice.
Well, that's something.
Very exciting, but I got out.
Wait. If you dry fire practice in the shower, is it still dry firing?
Are you firing live ammo? Then it's dry firing with a wet gun, you nim. Yeah, I don't know. Nimby? Sure.
Nimwit?
Nimwit. No,
that's dimwit, I think.
So if you're in the shower, are you a wet wit?
Maybe.
Oh, you're only a dimwit if you're in the dark. This is awful. Sorry, listeners.
I think we should start this again. This is terrible.
And none of us are drinking.
Let's start it again. And,
yep.
But, yeah, I know.
I'm going to cut in. I'll cut in Jake.
Yeah, because he did want to be on the show.
Yeah.
So.
It's not going to get any better, guys.
It's not. All right.
No, come on. Let's get it together. We can bring our A game.
Oh,
if we don't have
I'm writing that one down for note take two. Our A game. Whatever. Okay. Here comes a solid D game. All right.
I was in grade 9. Our class was 9D. You know, there's 9A, 9B,
yeah,
9C.
Yeah.
Yeah. The D stood for delinquent.
Oh, I like it. All right. Here we go.
So today we're out in the garden and we're talking, and Elias, we're pulling up the old corn stalks from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're pulling them up and she goes, you know, she said, here's one and here's another one. She said, you know, it's easier if I just go 1, 2, 3 and count them instead of saying 1, 1, 1, 1. She said, and then I get to potato.
So now she officially has a spot on the show.
She goes, I get it. She said, because potato comes after 4. She said, so potato must be 5. I said, I thought potato came after 10. She looks at me and goes, potato's 11?